Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the latest episode of the Wrestling Index Podcast. As always, your boy TK in the house. And if you're watching on YouTube, Twitter, listening back, you're going to hear I'm not alone. I got a big, sexy, big dick Brett back in the house. Welcome back to the Wrestling Index. Scissor me.
Well, firstly, I want to say that's the first time I've been on since you've had that new banging intro. How about that? That's very cool.
Yeah, I'm going to give Nick all the love and all the props. Okay. In the world. Nick from the Universal Wrestling Podcast. He definitely did not need to put that together. Well, he offered. I said, fuck yeah.
I need to have a conversation with Nick then, because Bo and I were just talking this past weekend when we were together that, you know, we do like nothing on YouTube. And obviously, that's all the rage and that's what everyone's doing. So we talked a lot about, you know, putting our stuff on YouTube, because we used to heavily edit everything, but now we don't really. So, yeah, expect a little more YouTube stuff from the BBBs, and I love a crisp, nice intro like that, Nick.
that's really exciting stuff, man. That means we get to see your beauty more often, which would be great. And what was Ritter calling Bo in the fantasy wrestling draft? Was it Beautiful Bo?
Beautiful Beaumont? Yeah, I don't know. Something like that.
I think it's like taking it back to the Beverly Brothers.
Beautiful. Yeah, it was Bo and Blake.
Yeah.
How about that?
Bo and Brett. But
yeah, close enough.
BBBs. And congratulations to you guys celebrating 2 years. Fucking yes. Awesome stuff.
Seems like everyone, I know World Elite just had their 2 year. A lot of podcasts started in the COVID time, obviously, in the fall. But yeah, it's been a hell of a 2 years, and what a week to kind of celebrate that. We got to attend both Raw and Impact Overdrive in Louisville, and then we watched Full Gear together and had a fucking blast. And then we got to watch the Bengals beat those dastardly fucking Steelers, even though they suck, but they beat us week one, so that was a nice revenge win as well.
Big win. You guys needed that win. Absolutely needed that win. And that's a hell of a fucking week, dude. Again, congrats on the 2 years. And, you know, a lot of people started during the COVID era. Not a lot of people sustained it, though. So the fact that you guys are running is a testament to how awesome you guys are. And your show's fucking awesome. Hilarious. Get on it. Visionaries Global Media Network. All major audio platforms. Brainbuster Boys podcast. Check it out for sure. And let's talk about you and what you did over the past week, because you just laid it out. That's a hell of a time. Just start with your experience on Raw. Obviously, it was about 8 days ago at this point, 9 days ago at this point. But talk about it. Don't you match by match? But
I'll spare some details. But I was firstly, we got comp tickets, which is always nice, and we had an extra. So we're at the bar before the show, and there's this dude sitting next to us who we were talking about the Vikings game, not this past one, but when Justin Jefferson had that amazing catch against the Bills, and he's like, oh, I'm from Minnesota. We start yucking it up.
Ever, dude.
Yeah, he's in town from Minneapolis for work. Long story short, he ends up coming to the show with us. We literally just met this guy like an hour before. His name was Chris. That's cool. He brought the energy. He bought me a Louisville 316 shirt, actually, as like a thank you for the ticket, which was awesome. So that was just a good way to start it. You know, like we have a new friend with us. He was excited. He hadn't been to a wrestling show in a decade, he said. So he's a very, very casual fan.
Okay, cool. I was just going to ask, was he into modern wrestling?
No. He said he went like in Minneapolis a decade ago and Mike Tyson was on Raw, he remembered. So, but he was like really into, there was a really good JD McDonough, Cedric Alexander pre-show main event match, which I don't know, is main event on Peacock?
I think so.
Yeah. But anyone who check it out, it's very good. But yeah, just, you know, we got the opening promo with Rollins and doing the, you know, well, let me step back. So I've been to 8 AEW shows since I've been to a WWE show in 2017. And I will say it was much bigger, brighter, louder, grandiose, as I'd known, but I just hadn't experienced it in so long. And it was awesome. You know, it was just so different than those AEW shows, which is, you know, I love for the wrestling and everything else. But, it, you know, this, I enjoyed the spectacle of it. And I know Bo did, too. He'd never been to a WWE show. So
first time. Yeah.
Yeah, he went to WCW Uncensored 99 in Louisville Freedom Hall. And I think he said he went to maybe one or two other WCW shows as a kid. But so that was cool, too. And our buddy Will was with us, who is also a very casual fan, but just, you know, wanted to come along for the ride. But yeah, we were I told you right before we hit record, we were just dying when Rollins called Lashley Big Bob. That just became a thing for us the rest of the night. That opening promo was a lot of fun. And then so we had this little girl behind us named Cora, 4 years old, who was just made the show better for everyone around her. She was cheering all night. When the first screen went to black, when the, there was a commercial, she's like, is it over? It's like, no, girl, there's like 2.5 hours left. But she was a trooper. She outlasted Chris and Will, our friends. They stayed the whole show. But Chris and Cora certainly just made this a much better and fun experience for all of us. But yeah, back to the show. I mean, the Riddle versus Gable match was fun. You know, that was like the first good match. And I always love a nice heel, pull the feet down, help win, you know, and Gable's been crushing it. So I think I was happy to see him get that W, even though it was in nefarious circumstances. But I think really it was the Austin Theory show. Especially once we got about halfway through, he cut that promo backstage with the beautiful Kathy Kelly. Boy, I'm glad she's back. And she's really good at her job. I'm not just saying she's hot, but anywho, Theory, he, you know, basically laid, everyone has seen it at this point. He laid out, you know, why he cashed in, that, you know, yeah, he's hit rock bottom, but he's never felt more alive. And you can see that in that match with Dolph at the end of last week. And then last night as well, he's got that new attitude about him. And, you know, I'm someone who wasn't watching a ton the last few years as he was coming up, but I'd seen enough, you know, and watched him in NXT. And it's like, you could tell this guy's got something. And there's a reason Vince McMahon, you know, kind of hitched to his wagon on television, but I love it. And I thought that was a big night for him to get past that bullshit of losing the cash in. He ends the show on top. And now they're going to have this big triple threat at Survivor Series, which is a big match for Theory. And hell, I don't know who's going to win. I would guess Seth probably still gets the W. But I think it was a great way to rebuild the Austin Theory character. So what'd you think of all that? I know we haven't really had a chance to talk about it. So just wanted to get your thoughts.
Yeah, I've missed you. Life has been so busy. Football makes things busy, you know, working, kids, all that good stuff. But I love the Theory stuff. I was confused why he cashed. Well, I understood why he cashed in on the United States title in the first place. It made no sense for him to cash in on Roman. Not believable at all. So him cashing in on Seth. Oh, shit. Theory wants his U.S. title back. Okay. That's cool. Losing it, I was like, ooh, damn. Okay. Yeah. But this new Theory, the first promo, like you said, was so reinvigorating for him. He just looked like a whole new man, new demeanor. You know, I like that he's growing the beard out, and it's an addition to his character. And then just how physical he's been over the last couple of weeks.
Like that Ziggler match alone, man. Like he just flipped the switch. And then, again, just being there, seeing him chuck that announce chair, it was awesome. And
he's a massive man, dude.
I know.
Like when they were doing when he was feuding with Bobby earlier this year, and they were doing their pose downs and everything. Like, obviously, Bobby's got the body of a god, but dude,
you mean Theory, Big Bob?
Big Bob, yeah. Big Bob's got the body of a god. But dude, Theory is like a fucking gorilla, dude. Like,
and he's what, 24, 25? Like, he's so young, too. He's
a young kid. I love the new gimmick. I love the new role. And after Seth and Finn, which was a fantastic match.
Yeah.
And there was really like the Mia Yim show, because she was on TV six times
that night.
which I'm not complaining. I only know because of our fantasy wrestling league. I got to tabulate all that good stuff. Yeah. Six times, I was like, I get she's back, but Minchin?
You mean Meechin? Yeah. Meechin, I don't know how I feel about that, but
her name is staying Mia Yim, though.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah, so the whoever...
So it's like a nickname, correct, then, I guess. Yeah. Okay, see, I thought it was like a permanent name change.
No, they're going to keep her Mia Yim, which I'm fine with. And even if they were changing her name, I mean, I don't know, like, that's the name I would run with. But I wouldn't have ran with Butch either, and Butch is working fucking very well.
Well, that's all testament to Mr. Peter Dunne.
Correct.
But anyway,
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that show for sure, man.
We'll get through this. That main event was great. Obviously, you put two outstanding wrestlers together like that. Give them 20 minutes, they're gonna have a great match. So, I think I went 4 stars on both that and the Theory Ziggler. Neither of which made my top 10, though, because it was such a damn good week. But I had to give them a little love in the honorable mention category for being there live. And, it was just a really good, fun show, and we all had a really good time.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. I'm glad you guys had a good time. And it's always fun when you see kids in the crowd when you go to shows. I don't really know so much about AEW anymore. Those crowds are fucking raucous, dude. But
yeah, it's definitely a more family-friendly type environment.
Back when I used to take my daughter, my son never was into it, but when I used to take my daughter, my younger thuns are definitely more into it. My daughter and I used to go all the time, and you see the kids in the crowd, and it really just makes for a much better atmosphere.
It's a different.
Just find me a fucking rando at the bar. Come on, dude.
I know. Exactly.
It's a story in itself. I found a random guy at the bar. He came to fucking
talking about football first, and comes out. He's like, "Oh, my hotel's right across the street." Yeah, I think we said, "Yo, we're going to Monday Night Raw," and he's like, "Oh yeah, I went 10 years ago." I'm like, "Got an extra ticket if you want to come with us." And then it took probably like. Then Bo came because it was just me and Will, and then we're just talking, and he hadn't really committed, but he hadn't not committed, and then literally, like, right as we're getting ready to walk out, he's like, "All right, I'm in." It was just so tight. Fuck.
That's
so cool, dude. And that's just a cool, like, wrestling can bring people together, as it has done us and kind of our whole crew here, and as it just did in real life. So, and I have more on that as we get into Impact Overdrive, because we certainly made a ton of new friends there as well.
That's awesome. And let's just go right there, because that was the question that I wanted to ask you. So I know that you had mentioned WWE is like a spectacle. It's a much
this
different
show. This is the opposite.
Correct. There's WWE, there's AEW, and I would imagine Impact's running a much smaller event.
This is my third Impact special, because they're not the technical big four pay-per-views, but I've been to three of these specials, and they've all been a 10 out of 10 great time, because there's maybe 400, 500 people at these shows. Like, it's at a music venue that I've seen many concerts at. So that's cool in and of itself that there's just a ring plopped right down in the middle where I've seen a lot of great bands. But, you walk in, and we had GA tickets this time because they raised the prices. So last time we were like third row by the ramp. So like anytime the rest, like I yelled Gore when Rhino came out, and he like stared daggers at me. but this time we're like, right when you walk in the door, there's just an opening, and we just planted there, and there were probably like 20 of us people just standing there. We're like 5 feet from the commentators, probably 15 feet from the ring, just incredible view. And you're truly part of the show. Like I'm not shitting you. Every single Black Tarus chant, that was me, every single one. And there were a lot of them because we were getting real hyped about Black Tarus. I like to think that we made Trey Miguel turn heel because of our actions, but I know that's not exact. But the cool thing was, like, you could see Black Tarus, who on paper was the heel, like, he was looking at us and getting fired up, and like, that's fucking cool as shit. Like, you can truly see the effect you're having on the performer. And I'm not gonna say it was all me, but I was the ringleader for
catalyst,
sure,
baby.
Starting these. But yeah, we like right off the bat, again, as far as meeting people, you're just standing. It's like, "Hey, I'm Brett. Hey, I'm Jake." We just meet all these people. They're starting cheers with you. And then we ended up hanging out with them all after as well. And, like hey, we exchanged info. It's like, let's be friends. So yeah, just another, because we were with them the whole show pretty much. But yeah, man, I love these shows because you truly are a part of it. And it's like, this isn't no indie show. It's like you're watching fucking Josh Alexander right in front of you.
Right.
Or Ishii, who I got to see here. So it's like, it's a thrill. Like, I've seen Jay White twice. So yeah, I just love them. And in terms of the show, the best match before the final three was actually the pre-show tag between Chris Bay and Ace Austin against the Motor City Machine Guns. Very, very fun match. But the main card started, you know, it was a little lull. Like, the first match was Bully Ray and Moose in the tables match, which was fun and very fun to see live. And Moose is fucking unit and a half. Like, that is a monster.
Big Moose.
I'm really excited about the match, but I heel Bully Ray. Heel Bully Ray at the end of the show. Hear me?
Yes, dude. Yes.
We're good?
Big time.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you're kind of... I think you... Hello?
You're like coming... you're coming in and out. But I was able to pick up what you were putting down. That you wanted Bully Ray to be the heel and his actions at the end of the night were good. I was feeling that. Let's see. There we go. I think we're good. Yeah, you gotta love technology for sure. Forever it was my camera.
What's going on? I know.
There you go.
I usually don't have.
Can you hear me?
But hey, here we are. But yeah, I can. Can you hear me?
Cool. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Can you?
yeah, you're good, dude. But yeah, then the next few matches, you know, we had the women's tag, we had the Mickey James Taylor Wilde, we had the men's tag, all very fine matches, you know, all around the 3-star level, but nothing that'll blow your pants off. But then those last three all certainly did, and were all on my weekly top 10. And again, I was talking about Trey Miguel, Black Tarus. Like, that was what really just got us going. Like, got the crowd. The crowd needed a match like that too, because it was just kind of but yeah, they really built the show. But these last three matches would, you know, crescendo, and they all delivered. I think I went 4.25 on this, 4.25 on Masha and Jordan, and 4.75 on Frankie Alexander. Oh, look at you. There you go. How about it?
Yeah, there's your top 10 matches of the week right there. Yeah, you got 4.75 for Josh Alexander and Frankie Kazarian, 4.5. I don't know. Hold on, let's see what else.
Which is my fourth 4.75 match for Josh Alexander this year. The guy is crushing it.
Has he broke a 5-star yet or no?
Not for me, but he's been very close.
Got it. Yeah, you got Trey Miguel and Black Tarus at 4.25, and Jordan and Masha at 4.25.
Yeah, this was a tough week. I mean, great week, but tough to kind of rank because there was so much good shit. And like you see, Jamie Hayter and Tony Storm, yeah, I had it technically lower than Shuri and Utami, but it was just so much more memorable that, like, sometimes I'll bump shit up even though it's technically like a lower star rating because, like, hey, even though that match may have been technically better, like, this one just meant that much more to me and got such a huge reaction out of me, of course, because as you can see, my name is Drop the Interim Tag. So
we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that after Overdrive. We'll get into Full Gear for sure. But yeah, that's the list. You can find the full list at FullerCybersports.com. Brett does a banging ass job every week on it. So
thank you. But yeah, so that match was great. Trey did the spray paint at the end. But yeah, just an awesome back and forth. So many great near falls. Got us engaged. And then the women's championship, probably a notch below their Bound for Glory match, which just kind of blew me away. But, you know, for a last knockout standing, you know, those types of matches sometimes don't hit all the way, but they did a great job. You know, they had a lot of weapon spots, a lot of brutal stuff, and ended with a muscle buster through a door. So can't be mad about that. But I did think Masha was going to win, and she's on my fantasy team. But
I thought she was too.
I wasn't sure. Did you happen to see Impact on Thursday? before that show?
No, I did not. Masha, but I did read the results, and I remember there was something that stood out to me. I don't remember what, but it seemed like a pretty decent show for sure.
Well, there was an awesome Eric Young, Sammy Callahan main event.
That's what it was.
Jeopardy, so much blood. Yes. But what I was bringing up is Masha did an interview with Gia Miller, I think is her name, the backstage interviewer. And she talked in Russian, and it was all subtitles. And Gia's speaking English, and she's asking questions. And Masha's basically like, that's a stupid question. Only an idiot would ask that question. She keeps calling her an idiot. And then at the end, Gia's like, so what should we expect with this match on Friday? And she just says, death. So it was just one of the funniest fucking interviews I've seen in a long time. Because it was English, Russian, and it was like Gia wasn't even reacting because she didn't know what the hell she was saying. But it was really, really funny. Anywho, the main event, holy shit. Match of Kazarian's life, no doubt. Singles-wise, at least. Like, I looked up his cage match. I've seen some of these matches. Like, it has to be the performance of his career in a singles match, which is awesome. And, I mean, so much better than anything he's done in his entire AEW run. Like, this was just an incredible championship match, and they threw it all at each other, and it went 33 minutes, and there was never a lull. We got behind Frankie in this one, obviously knowing he wasn't going to win, but in a face versus face, like, that's just kind of, that's who our crew attached to, which is funny because the last time I saw Josh, we were all on Team Ishii, and you could tell he kind of gave us a look at that one too, like, what the fuck? but no, Josh is fucking unbelievable. And yeah, just hats off to Frankie. I can't wait. I haven't rewatched that match yet. I rewatched the Black Taurus one and heard my voice all over it, but, excited to rewatch this just in a fresh lens and not being there because it was just damn good fucking wrestling. And then the end, whoo, Bully comes out, you know, his whole thing has been, you can trust me and I'm going to look you in the eye when I challenge you, which he did. And then he beat the shit out of Josh and then pulled his wife out of the crowd and was about to pot. And it was like kind of uncomfortable, but kind of great too. You know, like the whole place was kind of silent. And then like, it went on for a long time. I felt like, and as it went on, it's like, are we still on the air? Because when you're there, you don't really know. But what I will say is I did not give two shits about Bully Ray versus Josh Alexander. Now I do. I'm at least somewhat intrigued by this, and they've got almost 2 months. So what else dastardly is Bully going to do? So yeah, I think this could be an interesting story. You know, the match in and of itself, I'm sure won't be as high quality as some of these others he's had, but I'm at least mildly interested now. What about you?
Yeah, storyline, it makes sense now that he's done this. I'm a good guy. I'm just here to help you out, and I'll let you know when I'm going to do it. Fuck that shit. Bully Ray got over big time as a single star with Aces and Eights. That's the Bully Ray that we all wanted. But at the same time, I didn't want him just cashing this in and fucking – in stealing the title from Josh Alexander and becoming the world champion. I want Josh Alexander to
break the record. Which I don't think is ever going to happen.
No way. Josh Alexander is going to break the record. I think he only has to hold it for like another 100 days, maybe less than that, and he's going to break the record.
It's less than that.
Yeah, for sure. So no way they're going to let Bully Ray break that shit up. And at the end of the day, I thought Macklin should have been the one to win this, but the story that they're going to tell, that they started to tell on Friday, and that they're going to continue to tell, I'm looking forward to it. So if you want to sell a pay-per-view, I guess Bully Ray is a big name to do it, right? That's a cool free screen that you're on right there. But yeah, I enjoyed there we go. I don't know. I must have bad juju with you, man. Last time it was like fucking the reverse. My screen was all fucked like that. Now
it is me this time, and I almost... and there's it's a bit of a broken delay coming in.
Yeah, it's all good. I'm making it work. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, we're having fun. We're having fun.
The internet, like you said, through wrestling, you wouldn't be able to connect with people and do stuff like this. And that's the beauty of it. Like High Five Tom. I met High Five Tom at a wrestling show. Here we are years later talking, friends, like mutual friend with others
on the internet. And yeah, it turns out he knew you. He knows Kevin Rogue from Year Of, who I'm buddies with. Like, yeah, small it's awesome. World. It's
really
yeah.
cool stuff.
And High Five Tom, definitely a bit of a connector as well.
Oh my God. He is. I can't think of the word that I'm looking for, but yeah, I'll just go with the connector for sure. He definitely puts people together. I mean, he's a great dude for sure. I think I met Justa from Gitcho at a Warrior Wrestling show too.
Okay.
Without nice. Even like knowing who he was. Yeah. But, like, he's got one of those faces that you really can't forget. And I know he was at the same show, so fairly certain, but I digress. I really enjoyed this Impact Wrestling show. The main event was killer in ring. I like the after stuff. I thought Bully Ray and Moose was a lot of fun as well.
Yeah.
To start the show. I really did. And then the women's match, I agree with you. I don't think it was as good as the match of Bound for Glory. But anytime you get a microwave and a toilet seat, a door involved, fucking sign me up.
I forgot about the microwave. Yeah. I'll admit, we were a little buzzed by this point.
I'm sure eight matches into the
night. Yeah, and we'd had some beers beforehand, of course. So yeah, we were all feeling really good. So yeah, it was awesome. And again, we hung out with these people after the show.
Oh, right. Lord. So, yeah, it was Overdrive, bro. I'm glad you had a hell of a time at Overdrive. Let's get into full gear, bro. Let's transition right into AEW full gear.
Yeah,
and let's talk about it. You said right into it. You know we're going right into it. You said that this might be your show of the year. Why is that?
Yeah. And wrestling quality, obviously, from top to bottom was standing in an amazing main event, of course, filled with drama. Just great matches throughout. And I think just as a whole, like, they just needed this type of show coming out of All Out. And I was just with some friends and Bo, and we were just locked the fuck in watching it. And I just kept going, AEW's back, baby! It just felt more like one of those pay-per-views of last year as opposed to this year. And yeah, Revolution back in March was amazing. Like, I don't want to forget about that. And then prior, my show of the year had been Forbidden Door. Obviously going, there's some bias there, and I'm a huge New Japan fan. But I think this just topped it. It had everything. I mean, the only down match was Nyla and Jade. And frankly, I didn't really care too much about that anyway. So I wasn't really dialed in on that. But Britt and Saraya, there's some flack out there on that. But I thought it was good. And, she hadn't wrestled in 5 years. So there's going to be a little rust there. I thought Britt was the perfect opponent for her. And, you know, the emotion, we talked about this off air, beforehand, like when Saraya won, like, you felt that, and you felt that when she was coming out, and she's only going to get better. But what'd you think of that match? Cause I've just seen some people online saying, oh, it sucked and Saraya's bad and blah, blah, blah. But did you like it?
For those people who say it sucked, they can go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
They totally don't fucking understand wrestling. First and foremost, if you thought she was going to come back after a five-year hiatus and fucking have a five-star classic,
yeah,
she could have been here for the last 5 years and these two aren't going to have a five-star classic. I'm sorry. And I wasn't going into this match thinking we were going to see a five-star classic. I was pumped for Saraya's return into the ring. Britt is absolutely the perfect foil for her. Lover or hater, she is incredibly great at what she does. Again, she's not going to go and give you a five-star match by any means, but she is more than efficient in the ring. She beat Saraya's ass for 70% of this match. She made you want Saraya to have that big comeback.
And in front of her brother, too, which, that added to it all as well.
And she was talking shit, which was awesome. Plus, mind you, the crowd was definitely more like 60-40 Britt than Saraya for sure.
Yeah.
A lot of people saw coming. And how aren't you? You know, I talked about it last night. I'm doing a new thing now. It's like it's called Pick 10. I'll either do AEW or WWE, 10 topics on it. And one of the big things that I noticed when I was doing my full gear portion of the show was who got the pyro and who didn't get the pyro. Mm. And if you look at this match, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, of course she gets the pyro, as she should. She fucking runs the women's division in AEW. Saraya, no pyro. Very interesting. Toni Storm, no pyro. Jamie Hayter, pyro. Jack Perry, pyro. Chris Jericho, pyro. No one else in that match. No pyro.
Interesting. I did not take note of all of that, but yeah, that's good catch.
Wardlow, Pyro, no one else. No, everyone else. No,
but he lost.
We'll talk about for sure. It was the match itself was fine to me. And like you said, for me, wrestling, you know, I love wrestling. I'm a big mark for
you.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I couldn't tell. I'm a big mark for these kind of stories with returning wrestlers. Like when I see a Bryan or an Edge or a Paige in that case previously have to go away because of, you know, neck issues, back issues, head issues. Like, that fucking saddens me, man. These people are in the prime of their careers. They're doing a craft that they love to do. Yep. So, yes, getting to see Saraya come back and feeling that emotion with her and her watching these legit tears come out and her putting her hands and head over Britt, thanking her for the match.
That was cool.
Panned elsewhere. But I'm glad that I got to see that moment. I'm sure the cameraman was like, this is cool. Like, invested, getting her to see, go see, celebrate with her family and her friends in the crowd. I had tears in my eyes. I'm not going to lie. And I'm not too big of a man to ever admit that. Like, when Bryan came back, I full on was bawling because, like, I'm invested in Bryan. Like, you know, Paige, you know, I liked Paige, but she, I never had that Bryan relationship.
What about how she's still only 30?
Fucking A, dude.
I know. It's crazy. And
she elevates the women's division tenfold. Like, it's crazy.
Which needed it.
We talked about this months ago when she made her debut. I said, this is perfect. I pray to God that Tony just puts her in a match with Britt, because you could have two stories where you have Jamie Hayter and Tony Storm and Britt and Saraya, and kudos. He executed both of these stories perfectly. And I do want to just say one more thing, because I'm sure we won't bring it up again. Jade and Nyla, while the match itself, again, it wasn't the best, but who expected it to be the best? If we went into this Ted match show and we saw that, hey, Jade and Nyla is going to be the worst match on the show, we'd say, okay, we expect that. But they got the entrances were both cool. The baddies and Jade looked hot.
Jade looked great. Yeah, obviously.
I love seeing them do each other's finishers on each other, dude. Jade hitting the Nyla bomb was fucking dope, dude. And then ultimately it was 7 minutes of them trying to beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, it was fine.
The two biggest women in AEW. So, I mean, if you got a problem with it, then you probably got a problem. Like, Jade needs to go elsewhere, you know?
Yeah. I didn't have a problem with it. I just wasn't invested, and that it took nothing away from the show for me
Shouldn't have been on the show in the first place. Ricky and Ethan should have been on
If we're really talking, let's just say what we've always said, that belt really shouldn't exist.
Correct. You know, it's not taking anything away from Jade. Just don't want like these two women to feel, or not like, not that they're listening to me by any means. No, but I don't want them to feel, and I know they're getting it from all sorts of angles. Like, they deserve to have their accolades too. Like, the show was sick. Just because it was the worst match on the show doesn't mean it was necessarily a bad match. Because at the end of the day, it wasn't a bad match, and that was the only point I wanted to get across.
No, I agree. But yeah, just top to bottom, the show was electric the whole way. You know, Jamie winning that belt. I did pick her, but it was more of like a heart pick. Like, I, you know, didn't really think she was going to win, but knew she had a chance. But man, that match, that was my second favorite of the night, third favorite of the week. I've been huge on the Jamie Hayter train. I don't want to say before anyone, but before she was getting those huge pops at shit, like, I've been like, this girl, this woman, like, needs to be pushed. She's so good. So good. You know, I've seen maybe one of her matches in Stardom. I need to watch more. I know her and Tony were both in Stardom together, so this match definitely had strong feel, like a slugfest out, beat the piss out of each other, toughest woman wins. Tony's bloody nose certainly added to it all. And then, of course, Rebel first coming out, Britt coming out, and Britt ultimately being the one to help her get the win. I loved the late hug between the two of them as well, because, you know, there's been a little tension and they had embraced and Jamie celebrated. Yeah, I know we'd been calling for those two to split up, but hey, Jamie's the fucking champ now. She's on top and it's gonna happen at some point. At this point, we don't need to rush it. You know, 6 months ago, I think it would have been a good idea. But now we're at a spot where we have the real world's women's champion, real women's world champion, Jamie Hayter. Drop the fucking interim, Tony. But let's also say hats off to Toni Storm, because I know you weren't super high on her from the get-go, but she had a hell of a reign, and boy, this match was amazing. I said it, and I firmly believe it. I need to look into it, but it's one of the best women's I've seen on American soil. I know Bailey and Sasha had that a couple matches. The Charlotte Becky from that Revolution show, Britt and Thunder Rosa won. I'm just trying to think of some.
So where does this rank for? I was going to ask you that. For AEW women's matches, then, is this the best one, or is Britt and Thunder either got it?
Oh, for and Thunder, yeah, I'd say one of those two for me are pretty clear 1-2. Recency bias, I'd say this, but I also know when that Britt Thunder happened in that moment, it was like, whoa, I've never seen anything like it, no doubt.
Yeah, no, for sure. I was thinking the same thing, because again, you know, Jade and Nyla was what it was, we just talked about that, and Britt and Saraya was what it was, we just talked about that. So I was like, I hope to God that these two women just fucking bang this shit out. And
yep,
they're both hard-hitting physical women, they know each other, they're kind of the same size, similar in stature.
Yeah,
and damn, it was fucking a fun match. I wasn't disappointed. I went back and forth between the trios match, the Fatal 4-Way, and this match. Which is the best? 1A, 1B, 1C. Even on my show last night when I was talking, I even forgot that I said the trios match was the match of the night, because I was leaning towards this match because the emotion that invoked for me was crazy.
Me too.
Like you said, I wasn't keen on Toni Storm. With her title reign, though, she grew on me. I wish that it's bullshit that she will always just be
interim
champion.
Not in our eyes.
No. She carried that belt with grace, dignity, and a lot of defenses. She did a great
job.
Better
than Thunder Rosa ever did. And, you know, I'm a big Thunder Rosa fan, but her reign sucked. We all know it.
Yeah, neither one of them are great at promos, but and it's funny how Toni stood out, though, and Thunder didn't. So it's just a testament to how good Toni did. And going to Jamie, like I said, strike while the iron's motherfucking hot. Hit it. Toni, great fucking TK. Great job pushing the belt to Jamie. I hear this song in my head while you were talking about her. That's why I was moving, dancing a little bit. Oh, dude, the entrance gets me so fucking fired.
I know. I was hoping they'd come out with a new t-shirt for her when she won the belt.
You still got time. They might.
Yeah, I know. The MJF one I liked, but I'm not going to buy that one. If they would have had the one... Did you see AEW posted like the portrait of MJF like in the Louvre essentially with the belt? Like, if they made that into a t-shirt, I'd maybe get that. But
no, I didn't see it. I didn't see his new t-shirt. But yeah, man, the match was killer. And there were so many close near falls. Like when Rebel came out, I thought maybe that was it.
Yeah.
And then no, it wasn't. And then Toni had a chance to win and Hayter kicked out. I was like, oh,
Britt stomps her on the belt and she still kicks out.
And then
Toni... they start doing each other's moves as well.
Yes. And then finally the turnbuckle, the exposed turnbuckle in the corner gets her done, but Britt again costing her the match. And it's now I don't want that feud. Like you said, there's still a lot of different ways we can go with those two together. And then eventually get it. I need Thunder Rosa to get her ass back here so Jamie Hayter can take the interim tag off of
or right just away. Drop it. Or drop it.
But TK said in the press conference that she just won't get the title. So it'll probably be another match with her, Britt, maybe Saraya. Well, Saraya might not lose. I don't know. Toni gets another shot. Sheeta maybe. We'll see. But I'm very, very happy that TK went the route of Hayter being champ. And before we talk about MJF and Mox, because I know we're going to get there. I just want to give like a shout out to AEW OGs, right? TK has booked himself all AEW OGs as his champions outside of Samoa Joe, which is wildly crazy because no one in the world expected of the 11 people who did predictions for the website is all Wardlow or Hobbs.
Yeah.
The prediction show that we did that I wish you were on. Available. Fucking
invited me.
You were busy all fucking week. God damn. Never again. I always just send you a link. Anyway. Yeah.
Also, my glare's gone here. It's nice and clean now. Yeah, we're cooking. We're cooking, baby.
We're good. Yeah, now my kid's gonna wake up in 5 minutes. No, but we all agree on the show that Joe was just in the match to eat the pin. Like, why else would you even put him in? You want to keep Hobbs looking strong. You want to keep Wardlow looking strong. Joe's there to eat the pin. But no, nope. Joe walked out with the champ, which is cool and all.
He pinned Wardlow, right? Because he cracked him with the belt. And
Hobbs.
It was Hobbs?
Yeah, he pinned Hobbs. Yeah, he cracked Wardlow. Wardlow went away. He pinned Hobbs. And Wardlow and Hobbs just kind of looked at each other like, what the fuck, dude? And,
oh, because Wardlow was powerbombing Hobbs. That's right. Yeah.
But you got MJF now, and we'll talk about that momentarily. You got Jamie Hayter. You got Orange Cassidy as the All-Atlantic champion. You got the Lucha Brothers and Pac as the Trios champion. And, you know, I don't really know what you define as OGs. Like, they're not homegrown talent, obviously.
But they've been there since day one.
Yeah. So that's as OG as it's going to get, right?
And then you got Acclaimed.
And you got the Acclaimed as a tag champ. And you got Jade, which I forgot about last night when I was talking about it. You got Jade as a TBS champ. Even when you kick it to ROH, you got Danny as the pure champion over there. And you got, who was there? There's one other champ.
Samoa Joe and Jericho, but...
Jericho, I consider
he's a day oneer.
OG, obviously, not a homegrown star, but it's so nice to see the AEW OG is after all the bullshit from All Out. Tony's got his champs lined up. He knows who he wants to go with, and Wardlow or Hobbs will get that belt from Joe sooner than later. It's gonna Joe walking in the final battle with two titles is gonna do big things for that pay per view.
Yeah.
All right, what are your thoughts on kind of the situations of the titles right now and the OGs? Then you can transfer it right into how you felt about the world title match.
Yeah, I love it as well. I think we talked before about how the OGs weren't getting enough respect, you know, over these past several months since they brought in everyone. So yeah, I fucking love it. And it feels like a new era now. Like, all the All Out shit is behind. The Elite is back. Like you said, you've got your champs set up. So just things are starting to feel right again after, like we said, it had been a very up and down year. And I had at parts probably throughout the summer, I was probably more down on AEW than I'd ever been. Cause I was always up. Like I'm a mock. But yeah, I'm just happy to see this. Happy WWE is good. Happy Wrestle Kingdom's building up nice. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Noah's show on the first, Kenta and Mara Fuji are reuniting to challenge Kojima and Segura for the tag titles. So that's very exciting. Also got Shinsuke Nakamura vs. Great Muta on that show.
Dope.
A lot of good shit coming up. But yeah, AEW specifically, I love it. We'll get, you know, winter is coming. Should be very interesting. And then we've got few months to Revolution, but yeah, I love the champions and I like the direction we're headed here.
Hell yeah. So then the main event, bro, MJF, Mox.
Yeah.
Great match. MJF gets the win. Of course, we all knew MJF was going to get the win. Mox actually tapped him at one point during the match.
Yeah.
Which was awesome because it keeps Mox looking strong. Like, yo, I just beat you, you bitch. I made you tap. The ending though is, you know, there's three questions coming in. Does MJF actually do a clean?
Yep.
Is he still aligned with the firm, or is William Regal really the devil himself that MJF's been referring to? Well, we got answer three. MJF comes out, he's going to put the ring on.
Regal, don't you fucking do that. I loved his reaction.
Yep. And then it was after that Mox tapped him.
Yep.
And then says Regal says, go get the ref.
Go get the ref.
And then the brass knuckles. I loved it. I marked out so hard.
I called that. But I did say Regal would hit him. But I did. I mean, not that a lot of people called it. But yeah, I thought it was very well executed like that. When he's like, go get the ref, slid him in, boom, boom, boom.
It's perfect.
Yeah, I loved it. What I don't want, my buddy Azar texted me this last night and brought up a good point. Like, you mentioned Regal, the devil himself. I don't necessarily want this to come off as Regal was the mastermind. Like, I think it needs to be MJF was the master. Like, you got to make him look like he was the one orchestrating
like
this.
Like, he paid Regal off or something?
Or whatever it may be. Yeah. Or that they've had this cooking for months. But, like, I just don't want Regal to be the one. Like, MJF needs to be strong as the champ. Like, right. You can't, like, I don't know. it's a weird. I hadn't really thought about it, and of course.
So, do you think Regal is going to be MJF's manager then going forward?
Kind of. Yeah, I guess so. I guess I'd rather have that than him as like the guy up top pulling all the strings and making all the decisions. But I don't know. Like, what happens to Blackpool Combat Club now? Because it's named after him. That was my next question.
Keith said the other day from the Universal Pod on the prediction show, he goes, so what happens when Regal turns? They just become the Combat Club?
Yeah, I know. And as we've said before, like, I still have those five ever been on screen together yet?
After the show, for the first time ever, the four of them were in the ring. I don't know if you saw the video or not.
I didn't know. I heard about it.
It was really cool. So Brian, Claudio, and Wheeler were out there consoling Mox because Mox didn't know what happened. So Mox was rising up. The crowd was chanting for him, you know, Moxley, like, you know, thank you, Mox, or whatever. And then they were out there, and then Claudio and Brian are explaining to him, and then Moxley, like, freaks out, starts kicking the rope, stomping and shit, and then bro hugs all three of them, and then they dip together. And that was the first time I've seen them together. Now I think – if we can actually get the four of them, we won't, because Mox will likely go away for a little bit. Yeah. But once he gets back, if we can get the four of them together, like a four horsemen like crew, it would be fucking dope as hell. My question to you, though, is, so we're going to have Ethan Page, I guess it's a twofold question. So we're going to have Ethan Page or Ricky Starks take on MJF at Winter is Coming. One, who's going to win that match? And two, who then will be MJF's first real challenger? Because we know that's just going to be a one-off match.
Like first pay-per-view challenger,
correct. Probably. Is it going to be Brian or Claudio? Who do you think? Or someone else? Option C.
Well, I think Ethan Page wins. I hope, frankly. Who do you think is going to win? I think it could go either way, but I like Ethan Page.
Yeah, fuck, it's 50-50, bro. I think Ethan Page wins too because it does more for him than Ricky Starks. I think Ricky Starks and MJF is like a fucking pay-per-view main event a year from now.
Yeah.
Like, whereas Ethan Page, maybe one day, but I think...
I'd love to see him in a world title match, even if it's on Winters. You know, like the guy, he deserves it. He's not been showcased enough, and he's good enough, so...
And quite frankly, that you could say about both Ricky Starks and fucking Ethan Page, dude.
For sure.
Both of them have
Starks is definitely. He has been more in the past, though, with Team Taz. And
Well, Ethan Page, we were asking forever, like Miro, where the fuck is Ethan Page? It was the same question. Where is
Miro? And then Miro, he got lost in the whole Dan Lambert shit and whatever. Like, that did nobody any favors.
No.
At the end of the day. But yeah, I think Ethan Page wins. Yeah, first challenger. It makes sense for it to be one of those two. I don't know. There's a lot of time in between now and then.
It's not till March, right?
Correct. Yeah, like early March.
It's a long ass time. Because I think Brian's going to be the one to take the belt off Jericho.
I think so, too.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily want him to challenge MJF because he's just going to lose.
Lose it. I don't want him to lose it. Right.
And so he's been losing so much. So, yeah, I'd rather see Claudio. Like, I feel like he can afford a loss a lot.
I'm just trying to think who else by that point is.
That's the thing. You've got a lot of time to tell stories. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be BCC or Combat CC or whatever. But that, as of right now, that seems to make the most sense.
Well, I just can't think of another contender on the roster. Who is
it? Well, I can because of how they fucked it up from the get-go. In kayfabe, Wardlow.
Wardlow, yeah. Okay. Well, right.
Washed the fuck out of him, which I still disagreed with.
You can't do that, though.
You can. Hey, I beat the shit out of you in 2 minutes. Give me a shot. In kayfabe.
And then what? MJF just cheats and beats him or something?
Well, I'm not saying that's what I want to happen or that's what should happen. But that's why I hated that Wardlow squash.
Right.
Because now MJF is the champ and Wardlow technically has this way over him and has every right in kayfabe to challenge MJF. But yeah, it ain't going to happen. But
oh, no, you're right. Dude, yes, 100%.
But that's the answer to the question. And that's why I fucking hated that squash. Yeah. I hate it even more now that MJF is champ. It's like he looks.
What about this? I know someone who can come back and wrestle him in March. You'll love it. Or maybe they save this for All Out in Chicago, the big return a year later.
Don't say CM Punk. Although, I know, those two made magic, no doubt about it.
I was just fucking around with you at first. I really was just fucking around with you at first.
It would be money. It would be all money. Out
9 months from now if he's healed up. Never say. I know.
I'm just over him.
Yeah, I don't. No, I'm good. Trust me. I'm more than fine, dude.
Yeah.
He can stay away and go be a baby somewhere else. But we're not going to talk about that negativity.
But yeah, aside from the CC guys, yeah, I don't know. Let's just let it play out. We've got a lot of time between now and then. So yeah, I think the bigger question is what happens. Do they change the name? Do they stick with Blackpool Combat Club? Do they stay together? Do they disband? Yeah, it's going to be very intriguing.
Because they already had the turmoil inside with Brian and Yuta not liking each other so much lately. And, you know, like you just said, they've never were actually in a ring altogether. When Moxley be fucking getting jumped twice by the firm, I get it. The first time there was a broomstick on the door. Where were they the second time? I know MJF's big heroic save.
Yeah.
But you mean to tell me that I got a stable of boys back here and I'm getting jumped 5-on-1 and my boys aren't fucking out here? Come on, man.
Yeah, I agree. It's like they're selective. I mean, obviously, select. Similar thing was at the Raw I was at when they brought out a million refs in suits when Ziggler was getting the piss beat out of him by Theory. But then when Rollins was getting, it was just one ref. Yeah. So similar, just selective, you know, picking when you're doing shit, but for lack of a better term.
Yeah, for
sure. Yeah, I don't know. I'm fucking excited. I'm very excited to see the promos tonight. Do you think Mox will be there, or do you think we'll see him at all for like months?
Yeah, months. Maybe it's Mox. Maybe it's Mox MJF at Revolution. Maybe we're just skipping that over.
Yeah,
I know. I don't think we see him for quite some time.
I think you're probably right, but man, it would be nice to see him there to get this resolution in some way before he goes. So then you get a little bit of meat left out here, and then whenever he comes back, you can eat that meat.
I don't know what I'm saying. Whatever you want. No, I get the rest of that meat off the bone.
But back to what you were saying. AEW is in such a great place right now, I think. And I think Tony's booking since All Out has been mostly very good. Again, the match that show was fucking awesome. We've got the best of 7 to care about for these next 2 months.
Jericho and Ishii tonight.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, you know Ishii's my guy. So I might have to bust out the Stone Pitbull shirt. I'm working tonight first, but. Yeah, might have to.
Pretty upset. I'm not going to this show tonight. It's
I was gonna ask.
Local show that I couldn't get babysitting. Man, it's a wife's working babysitting.
So you go to like all the Chicago AEW shows then? Typically,
I go to every show. Yeah, every AEW show that's out here, I go to.
Yeah,
I'm very very upset that I'm not going to this. Gary literally just messaged me and said, "I got this ticket. Are you sure you can't make it?"
Oh damn. Well, what time is it? I'll drive up.
Yeah, right.
I could make it right on time if I left right now. There.
No, and I was extra salty, bro, when I seen that they were gonna have the Elite versus the Death Triangle and that Jericho and Ishii was gonna be going on.
What else? We got Hager and
Orange Cassidy,
which will be fun.
I like this hat, bro.
Yeah, I think it'll be fine. Yeah,
I love it. I think Jake Hager is immensely underrated. I'm like one of the few people who think that, but I do.
Yeah, I got no issue with him at all. I think he's kind of made himself into this goofy kind of fun character to some degree.
I think he's funny as hell. He's just one-liners. He stands there like a fucking oaf and then rips his one-liners. And it's
there's
funny
one from the old Inner Circle days. I can't remember what the situation was, but this one always stuck with me. Someone else was saying something about them winning championships, and he was just in the back and went, "Championships, yeah!"
Yes, I remember that, dude. That
one's just always geeked me out. But yeah, should be a good show tonight for sure.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Only other thing I got on Full Gear before we dip on, maybe hit some WWE Survivor Series predictions and wrap this baby up. Jack Perry. Jungle Boy, that match was awesome. Very good. I don't want to not talk about that. The only thing is I wasn't sure at the end of it if he was meant to go through the ladder or the ladder, if he was meant the to table. Go through the table or if he was just trying to drop the point of the elbow. That's really my only beef with it. But Jungle Boy bleeding out match was awesome. Him being coming into his own as Jack Perry and tapping out Luchasaurus was really cool. And then the Fatal 4-Way ROH match, ROH title match was fucking dope. And you might hate him. You might think he's a little jizz ass motherfucker.
Oh,
Sammy Guevara.
Did you read what I wrote on my article about him?
I did. I'm just saying.
I said, hey, this is the best performance he's had in a long time. He's cut out the bullshit. You haven't seen him sticking his tongue down Ty's throat every week anymore. True. He's wrestling. And he was awesome in that match. And he was awesome in the Bryan matches. So, yes, I have taken back the whole go-away heat thing. I still don't like him. He's still a little scumbag. But
I don't like the Young Bucks. That's fine.
Yeah. But, yeah, I thought he was probably the star of this match, frankly.
He was.
The real story
he's been laying in recently are meaty, dude. And, yeah, Jericho and him.
That was the story because, you know, obviously the intrigue for that match was teammates are going to face off at some point. And I loved how Bryan and Claudio just shook hands and went at it in the beginning for a few minutes. And then obviously it was when will Sammy and Jericho break? I think Sammy ended up breaking up a pin and then that got a you fucked up chant going.
Mm-hmm.
But then he was almost like babyface-ish, at least in how he was working after that. And I dug it. And then I think the moment of the match was Bryan and Claudio were working together. And then all of a sudden Bryan hits him with the Psycho knee for that near fall.
Yes.
Cause like they hadn't been fighting at that point again. And then that brought in a fight between the two of them. And it was perfectly structured. Like you said, I think definite top three trios, Jamie and Tony and this, all three were outstanding. And then I went five on the Elite. 4.5, 4.5, and then also 4.5 on the main event and 4.25 on Jungle Boy. So, and 4 on the Acclaimed. So I had 6 matches at 4+. And then I went honorable mention on the TNT and the Sting and Darby versus Lethal. And because those are always, you know what you're going to get out of them. They're pretty much on every pay-per-view, but it's always a fun match.
A fucking blast.
Hell, I thought Jeff Jarrett was awesome.
He was great. The Sentinel Sing spots were awesome, dude.
That's the coolest shit he's done.
He's done,
period. He's been around. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I thought that was good. Yeah. I've never been a Jeff Jarrett fan. But I'm happy he's here. You know, like, I think I gained more respect for him and liked him more after watching his interview with Stone Cold. I don't know why. I just always didn't like the guy. But, like, he deserves respect. And I'm watching some old, like, 2000 WCW and WWE 99. And he's classic, you know. Like, I don't know why I never liked him, but.
He was a heel forever, bro.
Yeah, probably why.
He wasn't a cool heel either. The only cool heel shit he ever did was Slap Nuts and the guitar. Right. And ultimately, he did that guitar stuff when he was a very nerdy heel.
Yeah.
He was a knockoff Ric Flair.
But him in 99, when he and Owen were tag partners, rest in peace, it was right up until his death, basically, with Deborah. Like, that was some fun shit. And then I've been watching this 2000 WCW crap. Which it is crap, because the year of Duke and Rogue, they basically do a whole year of something, and they're doing 2000 WCW, and I like to watch along. And I've never seen most of these shows either, and they suck, but they are fun. They're fun to watch because it's
the Russo era.
Exactly. But he's been classic in those too. Like, he's kind of part of. You know, he's seemingly part of like every segment on the show back then. But
I'm sure he was the Hulk Hogan. He was Russo's Hulk Hogan, bro.
Yeah.
It was Russo and fucking Jarrett against Hogan and Bischoff. Wild shit, man. Wild
stuff. But yeah, I'm happy he's here doing the strut. He had his actual wrestling gear on. But yeah, I thought he looked good for sure.
I enjoyed the match. I enjoyed that match mightily. I like, you know, some people complain about Darby no selling the guitar shot. I loved it, dude.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of, real quick, because I brought up the Great Muta earlier, Darby and Sting will be teaming with the Great Muta in his last match as the Great Muta, as the Great Muta, at least, because it seems like he's going to be Keiji Muto for his final match. But that's huge for Darby.
Dope.
Yeah, I don't. They haven't
a career rub, dude.
Yeah, they haven't announced the opponents yet, but that just came out like. And Noah had a show like last night into this morning. So I saw that and I'm like, good for Darby. I love it because he has been slightly overshadowed, not booked as strongly as he was in the first couple years. So yeah, I'm happy for him. I think that's awesome. I think it's like in the end of January that it's not the January 1st show, because that's when Muda's fighting Shinsuke, which will be fucking tight to see him back in Japan. But
yeah, because Darby went from pillar to maybe not a top 10 pillar.
So. Yeah. Remember when he lost to Kyle O'Reilly? And I love Kyle O'Reilly and miss him so much. I'm like, whoa, that's a bit telling right now.
Well, Kyle O'Reilly went over clean two of the pillars, like back-to-back weeks, which, yeah, telling for sure. I could have said Jack Perry, maybe not top 10 pillar, but that big win over Luchasaurus, I think, is going to help elevate him up the ladder.
And he needed that because he hadn't gotten a win in a while. A big win, at least.
And pyro, the tights.
Yeah, nice stuff, he looks like a man now.
Yes, he looked like Jack Perry. You got anything else on Full Gear Dynamite before we move on?
No, but I was going to say real quick before we go into predictions, did you happen to watch the New Japan Stardom Historic Crossover Show?
No, I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. There was so much wrestling this weekend.
Oh, my God. I'm still way behind.
I forgot that it was even on, and I had to do the fucking fantasy wrestling results, and I was just like, I just got to fucking eat it and do it.
It's awesome. It was such a fun show because they had so many like mixed tag matches, and those matches were all a blast. Like, they were definitely, you know, they're not your five-star bangers, but they were all just so much fun. And seeing Zack Sabre Julia, and then Lawler and Shuri, and then I won't even spoil anything, but it was just a ton of fun. And then the last two singles matches, Shooter and Will Ospreay, far exceeded their match from Royal Quest. And then the main event, Kairi and Mayu Iwatani ripped it up for the inaugural IWGP.
Yeah, wins. I got to go back and I want to make sure that I catch that one at least. And I don't remember who won any of the matches outside of Kairi, obviously, because I know
she
has been Ospreay, obviously. So
Mayu should have won, but
you think that's so?
Beside the point. Yeah, but I get it. I get it for sure. Kairi is definitely more
name value
to over here as well. So yeah. I get it.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah,
the show was a blast. So
let me ask you, because while we were trying to do take one, you started talking.
Hey, we've been smooth this time. It's this fucking computer. It's so crazy. Weird. This sucks on Zoom. The other one's perfect on Zoom. It's fucking bizarre.
I'm gonna have to fucking splice two fucking videos together, and I'm not an editor. Not an editor at all, but I'm
like, well, you're about to be, bitch.
Yeah, I'm gonna figure it out. I'll figure it out right quick.
Now. I've minorly dabbled in video editing, and just like cutting clips together is very easy.
I just gotta download both videos, and I hope that I can just put them together. But
yeah,
I don't know. If it's not easy. Nick,
yeah, I'll hit you
up. Anyway, what I was gonna ask you was Bakely and myself,
Mr. News himself.
And myself have been all about this Kenny Omega Will Ospreay match at Wrestle Kingdom. And you, my large hog friend, have said you'd love it, but it ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, I was very adamant.
So what's
good? It's happening. Again, I'm happy to be wrong. I'm very, very happy to be wrong. Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't think they'd do it this soon, but fuck it. And I thought, you know, Ospreay Shingo would have been like a good, because they haven't had a Wrestle Kingdom match. So I just kind of thought that's the direction they'd go. And especially after the suspension, I'm like, no, it's definitely not going to happen. But I fucking love it, man. I think it's, you know how much I love Okada and Jay White. And this won't be the main event, but I think it's certainly worthy of being the main event. No doubt about it. But man, this show is going to be a fucking firecracker. I love that they went back down to one day. Yeah, some people aren't going to get on the card, but holy shit, it's going to feel like Wrestle Kingdom of old. And we got our first women's challenger as well. I don't know if you saw that. After the match, Tam Nakano came out and challenged Kairi. She's awesome. So that should be a great match. We've also got the junior four-way. We've got Ren Narita and Zack Sabre Jr. Holy shit, I'm fired up for that one. Yeah, Wrestle Kingdom's going to fucking rail.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be exciting. Yeah, I thought that I was leaning towards what you were saying over the last month because I felt like they were building towards an Ospreay Moxley match with
that was the other thing that rumor had been heating up a lot more recently as well. Yeah.
But I'm fine with this because we didn't even mention when we talked about the Elite and the Death Triangle. Kenny looks fucking chiseled, dude.
15 pounds of lead and muscle, Kevin.
Yeah, yo,
chiseled, that's what Callis said. Dude. It was one of the Okada Omega matches. And Callis, like, look at him, Kevin. He's shredded. He's put on 15 pounds of lean muscle. But
he looks great because people were saying he was fat. He was out of shape. He's this. Fuck, not the same.
You got to think he spent that whole fucking suspension just getting his ass in shape. You know, just what else did they have to do? You know,
he probably went hard in the gym.
Yeah, which, he looked great.
The extra 2 months probably wasn't a bad thing for him at all, dude.
No. I mean, it sucked getting the rug pulled out right after he came back, but yeah, probably for the best. And this is one of the most excited and anticipated I've ever been for a match ever, I'd say, because I think Will Ospreay is the best wrestler in the world, bar none. There's not even a question for me. And Kenny Omega was 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And with this much time off, and what we've seen of him, he's still fucking got it. And you get him back in the Tokyo Dome after, 4 years, where he made his name, where he became a star. And I watched the promo last night. I hadn't seen it yet. He did it all in Japanese because he's fluent. Those fans fucking love him still, even though he left. Like, there was a huge reaction when, and he came on the screen. Man,
he's gonna love it. He's gonna love it too, man. I'm sure he is.
And so is Ospreay, because Ospreay's like, "Fuck you, I'm the best." And basically, Kenny was saying Ospreay was his replacement. Yeah, it's gonna be good, man.
I can't wait. I'm really, really looking forward to it. And yo, it just came to me while we were talking. The perfect opponent for MJF at Revolution, Hangman. I think that's the guy.
There's a lot there, too. You're right. I mean, that's something that when this company started, that everyone's like, these are the two faces, the two homegrown, I don't mean baby face, but faces of the company.
The actual pillars, if you want to talk about that.
They are those two guys. And, you know, they had that battle. They had the Dynamite Diamond Ring match. I think that might be it. But, like, that's always been my thought. Talking with Azar and whomever over the years, it's like, this is going to be that Stone Cold Rock rivalry of AEW. At least I think, and still, like, because those are the two biggest homegrown stars, for lack of a better term. Hangman's already been the champ. MJF is now the champ. Like, yeah, there's fucking money in that. It's just a matter of how's Hangman's recovery going. Like, you got to think. Obviously, hopefully, he'll be ready well in advance of Revolution.
But. Right. That's what I was thinking. It still gives him a couple of months off. MJF could do his thing here with the firm against, you know, Ethan Page or Ricky, however they're going to do that. Maybe a little BCC stuff, you know, small things on TV. Maybe a one-off match with Claudio and then hit Hangman.
You got to think he'll probably defend it. So winter is coming, and I'd say at least one more time
before
the pay-per-view. Because they had... Remember, the year started this year with, so we had Hangman Danielson at Winners coming to draw, and then they did the rematch on the first Dynamite. And then Hangman defended it against Archer in a Texas Death match. So he had a few defenses before Revolution. I don't know if maybe they'll hold that out but that match is going to happen at some point next year. It has to.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely.
Okay, here's a question. Who wins the belt off MJF?
CM Punk at All Out.
Stop it. Wardlow.
It has to be Wardlow.
You think?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I think Wardlow or Hangman.
Wardlow. I don't think Hangman gets the belt back for a while. I know you don't want to hear that.
I also think Wardlow, but I
could also see a double turn where Wardlow wins it. Like Wardlow, maybe I can't see Wardlow winning it as a heel, but I think MJF's gonna be a face eventually at some point, and I think Wardlow will be a heel at some point.
Let's talk about that. So I think what MJF did, how he won the match, obviously heel shit. but people are going to be cheering the shit out of him. They were cheering the shit out of him then. I'm getting glared again. They're going to keep cheering the shit out of him. This is bizarre, but at least you can hear me.
They're going to keep
cheering the shit out of him. So I kind of think he's going to be like a textbook tweener.
Okay.
Because everyone loves him right now. He's not going to get booed against, hell, even, I'd be curious, this is insane, this player.
Oh, shit. Yo, you think he's going to
anyone like... not watching right now, this is fucking hilarious. All of a sudden, I'm just covered in light, and you can't even see me, and you can see me perfectly before nothing changed.
This has been a fucking trip, bro.
It really has. What were we talking?
Yo, I forgot. I forgot what I was gonna fucking ask you. Someone went MJF in it. Oh, do you think I'm?
The screen just went white.
I saw that shit. I thought you did it on your own.
No, I did not.
Fuck. This is fucking.
Good thing we're getting close to wrapping up.
Yeah, here, no doubt, no doubt. I was gonna say, you think MJF's gonna be more like a Stone Cold Steve Austin?
When Austin
got turned face, he didn't change anything that he did. Like, the crowd just turned him.
That's kind of what I think has already happened. Frankly, it was in New Jersey. This is so insane. It was in New Jersey, which is definitely like MJF's home territory. But I don't think he is a full-on heel. Like, I just think he's gonna vacillate based on the opponent. Like, if it is Ethan Page, MJF is going to be the clear babyface in that match. Oh wow, look what a slight, all I did was just slightly vacillate. Move the laptop.
Did you vacillate the camera?
I'm gonna vacillate some Vaseline on your butthole. But no, I think like if he fights Ethan Page, he's the babyface.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Especially with what the firm did to him. Now, if it's him and Starks, that would be very interesting. But I just kind of see him maybe not full on Stone Cold yet. Like, I think he's still gonna do more Healy type shit, but I think he's similar to Britt. Elevated to the point where the fans just aren't going to boo him, period.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fascinating. But yeah, do we see like a full-on MJF babyface? At some point, probably.
But I think to answer your question, it's got to be Wardlow, right?
Well, like, back to that.
Yeah.
I want MJF to beat him because of that fucking squash. Mm-hmm. So maybe he beats him by cheating and then Wardlow wins it, but... All right, let's because I'm very interested in all this. Like, who are your next few AEW champions? Like, now that we've got this belt out of the CM Punk era, like, it's so weird to hear Mox as a 3-time champ.
Fucking
but
nuts.
Deservedly so. But, like, I had in my head for a while, like, the title booked out for years. And now it's just like, I don't know what the fuck is going
to
happen.
Mine came to fruition. Well, mine is Punk. Mine was, it went to Hangman. And then from Hangman, it was supposed to go to MJF.
Yep.
And then from MJF, it was supposed to go to Wardlow. And then
who's next?
I don't know, man. I have no idea.
Because that's good. If Wardlow gets it, that's going to be a tough guy to beat.
Tough. What, Adam Cole? I'm just kidding, Tiny. I'm just kidding.
I hope he comes back. Good God.
He's coming back with the Kingdom, and they're going to take on the Trios champion Elite. That's my hope.
So, I think that is a great.
Let's hope on that.
Yeah, and where the fuck have the Kingdom been?
true, they came and dipped.
They're like, on that one rampage when they showed up, and then he fought Wardlow. Taven fought Wardlow, haven't been seen since.
Yeah, good point. Yeah,
Where's Juice Robinson? He apparently is signed. I don't know if he ever got the All Elite graphic, but he is signed. He is no longer under New Japan contract.
Well, I can tell you, Juice Robinson won't be taking the belts off Wardlow. That's for fun.
Juice Robinson! I love that fucking guy, though. I hope he gets his due because, he can be fun. I wonder if he'll still stay Bullet Club, like if they'll carry that in AEW. I think that would be cool. But, I'm pretty sure he's signed.
I think by the time that Wardlow gets the belts, I think I can see a guy like Claudio maybe. a guy like Malachi Black, maybe.
There's so many options.
Ricky Starks by a year from now could be the Uber over babyface that you want to take out the heel champion Wardlow.
Does Danielson ever win it or no?
Bryant, no, probably not. I think this ROH title is going to be his real title. And I think, because
Hangman's going to get it back at some point.
He wouldn't be a bad person to take it
Kenny,
off.
Of does Kenny ever get it back?
We ain't going to be playing flippity flop with this title. So it's concerning.
I know. I hope
that's
not.
Why I said I don't think Hangman gets it back for quite some time. You would think, yes. Like guys like Jungle Boy and I'm going to start calling him Jack.
I know, it's weird. Yeah.
Guys like Jack and Ricky, like those are the guys who I think would be, your next level guys who could be world champions. But you got to do a hell of a job building them up over the next year.
For those guys, I think they're at least 2 years away.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Here we go. When does MJF lose it?
I'll let him keep it for a year.
Yeah, I think it'll be close to. Like that's maybe why I said I think Wardlow could be a fucking next year would be the earliest probably.
Yeah, that's why I said Wardlow could be a heel by the time he takes the belts off of him, and MJF could be a face. It could be like a thing where the fans don't even want Wardlow to win the belts off of him by then. But like just like, I'm taking your belt, Max. It's my time. Like
I just want Max to beat him at some point. Like I just don't want Wardlow to have complete ownership and dominance over him. You know,
Wardlow should ever lose to anybody. Have you seen that game? I mean, War Daddy. I was surprised he lost this belt. I was like, damn.
I was too.
Like, he looked dominant in the loss. Like he just stacked and racked Hobbs four times, dude.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And obviously making that a three-way certainly made the possibility of him losing greater. But Bo and I had talked week after week. I mean, the TNT title has been kind of a joke the last 8-9 months. Really. Ever since it went off Miro. If I'm being honest, because even Sammy's run, and then they had the interim shit with Cody. So I was just really hoping that
Cody ruined that fucking belt, dude. Yeah. Like when he got it back from Sammy, like when he beat Sammy, that was it. Like,
well, when it went interim after just two weeks.
Right.
And then he came back. Like, what was the point of that?
Stupid.
But Bo and I were just hoping that this would be a signature win for Wardlow, and then they would continue to feed him the monsters like I've been asking for all year. So he wins, then he gets a singles match against Hobbs. Maybe he gets a singles match against Joe. Archer, W. Morrissey, Satnam Singh, what the fuck?
Miro,
where is he? Really? I need more fantasy points.
Tony Khan was asked about Miro and his the post-show press conference. Yeah, he was asked about Miro and Andrade and guys like that and why they're not used. And he said, well, when you have a roster the size we are, we have to rotate through talent when we use them. No, bitch, you ain't used fucking Miro in a year. Like, where is this
other than the four-way match at Forbidden Door, which was awesome. One of my favorite matches of the night. And then he maybe did something with the House of Black.
Yeah, he was in that
briefly thereafter
match with Sting, Darby in the house. And he hasn't been on TV since, dude.
Yeah.
Anyway, we can sit here and talk AEW all day. Yeah, what the fuck? We can sit here and talk AEW all day. We've been on for about an hour and a half. We hit fucking Raw. We hit fucking Overdrive. We talk Full Gear. It's just some fucking Dynamite or just some AEW in general. And before we get out of here, your excitement level for Survivor Series this weekend, and then I'm just going to run matches right quick for you to predict.
8 or 9. You know, I'm pumped because I've been getting excited for these shows now that I'm back in. And yeah, I'd say Raw, like it hasn't been as home run as it was like right out of the gate with Triple H, but I'm still into it. And I think these War Games matches will be tight. Obviously, Finn and AJ, I'm pumped about that. And then the triple threat for the US title. So yeah, I'd say an 8.5.
Yeah, bro, I'm fucking stoked for this show on Saturday. It's going to be a lot of fun. Both War Games matches are going to be lit. They've really just built Theory over the last 2 weeks up to, like, a guy, I believe, who could beat Rollins and Lashley in this match, which is fucking wild. Like, as of right now, my prediction is Theory in this match, which I might change it.
Okay.
But right now, it's Theory in this match. AJ and Finn, come on, man. Let's go. Yeah. It's a wrestling wet dream. And I think we're going to get Brian L.A. Knight on the show. So that'll be interesting, to say the least.
What have they been doing? Because I don't watch much SmackDown.
Two weeks ago, LA Knight was in the, or it was either LA Knight was on in backstage or Bray was backstage in the ring talking with Sarah Schreiber, one or the other. And then one of the other walked up to the other one, and LA Knight got smarky with Bray. So Bray threw a headbutt at him and put him on his ass. Okay. So then Bray was doing a promo the following week, this past Friday, in the ring, and LA Knight came out and Bray like apologized and shit. And then LA Knight slapped him in the face and ran out of the ring. And Bray's like, you know, I'll forgive you for this one for one, or even whatever, so you can come back in. And like, as he was gonna like let LA Knight back in, LA Knight just whacks him again and then runs away.
Okay.
So, and then backstage, LA Knight was talking again. He's like, fuck this guy, basically. And you've seen whatever, Bray in the mask backstage, but not Bray, but who's ever portraying this guy in the mask. And then when it comes back from commercial, LA Knight's like laid out under like boxes and forklifts and all this other shit.
Okay. So, but match isn't official yet, though?
No, not official. I think that they'd probably be trying to get Bray on the card, though. So I'd imagine they announced this on Friday night. Yeah. And then you got Ronda and Shotzi, which, you know, whatever. It's
fantasy different. Points.
Yeah,
I got Ronda.
Oh, yeah. Someone had to take her in fucking the 18th round, dude.
I know.
But let's run this, dude. Bloodline versus Kevin Owens. Yeah, I don't know if you saw that, but Kevin Owens is with Drew. Yeah, hell yeah. This was the team when they said.
So was that injury fake then? Because it came out like last week that he was going to miss 6 to 8 weeks.
One, they could have just been fed to the dirt sheets because
that's my thought. But
because they've been trying to keep this on the low, like the Kevin Owens thing being a big surprise. I thought it was just fed to the dirt sheets. Two, he is not moving very fast at all. He's only throwing a couple of super kicks, and so he very well could be hurt, and he's just moving gingerly about it.
Keep him limited, because obviously in that match, you know, you bring him in last, and then
And he's already said he's going after Roman. We knew that this was the route that they were going to be going. They were saving him for something, and they've obviously been saving him for something big. As he is the focal point here, which means he will get Roman at Royal Rumble, which is two years after their fucking last man standing match where he got screwed over. So I'm pumped for that. And I think that's what's gonna lead us into Kevin Owens and Sammy taking the tag titles off the Usos at WrestleMania. Equally excited for the best friends fucking winning the tag team championship. So that's gonna
that's something we've been talking about for a while here.
Long time. So this whole thing in the booking is awesome. As soon as I found out the Bloodline was in this match, I said it's gonna be KO, Drew, and the Brutes. Round it up. Let's go.
Fight night.
And fridge every time.
The dude, fridge.
Do you know how over this guy is getting himself? By fucking screaming, fight night.
I know.
Like Sheamus was about to talk, and Ridge is like, no,
motherfucker.
Yeah, this is my only fucking line, mate.
Ridge the fridge.
Dude, he's a fucking brute. Dude, he is a brute.
Yeah.
Dude, who you got in this match?
I guess I'll take the good guys. I think it makes a little more sense storyline wise if they get the win and could lead to KO and Roman and whatever else. But I just think it would be a lot more interesting if they won. But I think it'll be great. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that Team KO gets the win. Sami Zayn eats the pin, starts to lead to some friction, within the Bloodline, where Jay's like, this motherfucker cost the Bloodline the goddamn War Games match. He ain't Bloodline material. And you know, that kind of starts to go from there. So that would be my thought on it. And then women's side of things, Damage Control. Well, I guess I should say Team Damage Control with Rhea Ripley and Nikki Cross taking on Team Bianca, which is Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Mia Yim, and a fifth member that hasn't been named yet. So I guess I'll ask you, because we're going to find out Friday night. We're going to find out Friday night who the fifth member is. I thought we were going to find out on Raw this past week, so I was really disappointed. I thought that was going to be like the big reveal at the end of the main event, but I guess not. I digress. Who do you think the fifth member is going to be and who you got winning the match?
Firstly, starting to freeze and lag again, but we're almost done, so we'll fight through it. I don't really have – I'll say Beth Phoenix for lack of a better answer, because obviously her and Rhea had the thing, but – yeah, I don't really know other than that who it might be, but I will take are the good guys going to win both? No, I'll take Damage Control in this one.
All right. Cool. So, yeah, we're definitely aligned mentally.
Who do you think it's going to be, the fifth?
Yeah, I think it's either going to be Candice LeRae or Becky Lynch. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I think if they would have done either one, they're both Raw superstars, so I don't know why they wouldn't have done it at the end of Raw on Monday. I don't know. I guess it could be Raquel, just because it's going to be over on SmackDown. Raquel might be a nice fifth member of the team. Personally, I think it'll be Candice LeRae, but they're making a really big deal out of this, so it might be Becky. I don't know.
Also, what's Candice LeRae's? Did she get beat up by Damage Control?
Yeah, she got taken out by Damage Control. Okay. The way I looked at it was, you had, like, if you tiered it off in the match, you have Bianca and Bayley up top, you have Asuka and Alexa and Io and Dakota, and then you have Rhea and Mia, which means Nikki Cross needs somebody. So, like, I don't see them bringing in someone big like Becky or Beth, because yeah. Like, they need to equate to Nikki's level. Whereas one of these two would just go over the top here. I don't think it's gonna be Beth, because Rhea's got her feud with Mia inside the match.
Yeah, which is that why makes I think sense.
Someone like Candice is more on the level of
Nikki
Cross. But it very well could be Raquel, because I don't see why they'd be waiting to make the announcement for fucking Candice LeRae on SmackDown. It just doesn't seem like a big enough thing to lead up to. But I also got Damage Control winning this match, and this it'll ultimately lead, I would think, to Bayley Bianca one more time, which if Bayley doesn't win, I don't know what the fuck this is all about.
Yeah.
Ronda Shotzi, I don't give a fuck. Ronda obviously retains.
Ronda, yeah.
AJ Finn, who you got here? This is a big one.
First off, I guess I wasn't too shocked, but a little bit, that AJ hasn't had a singles pay-per-view win in over 3 years.
Ooh, crazy, bro.
Insane. I don't know. What's the end game here? You know, like, are these two factions going to keep feuding? I guess, probably. I'm going to go with Finn. I think AJ's streak continues, and I don't know. I guess I just think Judgment Day winning is more interesting. But, yeah, the match is going to be fucking awesome, and I can't wait.
Yeah, I was surprised that they didn't do a mixed tag 4-on-4 here with Mia and Rhea on each side, or even like a 6-man elimination match between these teams. But I'm not going to complain about AJ and Finn. Let's go. Sign me up. This could be a 5-star match in ring for sure. I thought Finn Balor was going to win on the prediction sheet. I already have Finn Balor written down, but then that AJ Styles stat came out, so maybe it feels like AJ is going to get the win here. So, fuck it. I'm just going to say AJ Styles, but there's something in my head that thinks Finn Balor might just get the dub. But when they announced that AJ Styles hasn't gotten a win in fucking 3 years, I was like, damn, wild.
I know.
But the match, I can't fucking wait
for
the match.
It's going to be sick.
The real winners here are us, the fans, because the match is going to fucking bang.
And the city of Portland. Every time I come here, it gets harder to leave. I think he put something in the water. Happy Gilmore. Now, the real winner here is the city of Portland. But it's yes, it is us, the fans.
All right. U.S. title, Seth Rollins, Bobby Lashley, Austin Theory. They've done a nice, nice build to this match over the past 3 weeks. Who you got?
Yeah, I said it earlier. I'll stick with Seth, but I could see this going any of the three ways. I'd say Big Bob being the least likely to win it here, because he's still got beef with Lesnar as well, unfortunately, because they can't seem to do a match right together. But yeah, I'll stick with Seth. But like you said, like, Theory is now a believable winner, and I'd be very happy to see him win. But yeah, I just don't really like. I've just looked at the U.S. title now since the belts are joined. Like, it is the top title on Raw. So having someone like Seth continue to carry that is a good thing. But I guess it's time to start thinking about WrestleMania ahead. And Seth Cody, is that going to happen? Or is it going to be Cody winning the Rumble? So I don't know, but I'll stick with Steph. I just think he hasn't had the belt long, and let's let him carry. He's earned the right to carry that for a little longer.
Yeah, so I originally thought Theory, and I had Theory written down, but as you were talking and as I was thinking about this, I could see Seth winning, retaining the belt, and Theory losing and just fucking going on a heated fucking rampage.
Yeah.
Like, and maybe not even Theory taking the pin. Lashley ain't taking the pin. Theory's going to take the pin in some capacity, like maybe – Bobby fucks Theory up, and then Seth gets rid of Bobby. Seth gets the quick win.
Yeah.
And then Theory goes absolutely crazy on Raw the next night. So that's what I'm going to go with.
I love it. Yeah.
And then a Bray and LA Knight wrestle. I mean, I got to think.
Bray.
The obvious answer is Bray. There could be some fucked up thing where LA Knight gets the win because Bray's alter ego, you know, some crazy shit with Bray happens.
I still just fucking hate the name LA Knight so much. It's just never. Yeah.
Is it, is it better than Max Dupree?
No, it's not. I thought Eli Drake was a fine name, but I like the guy. I just can't really take him as seriously with that dumb fucking name. That's just how it's been for me. I just think it's awful. But anyway, he's very entertaining, and I think the match would be fun if it happens.
Yeah, certainly. Absolutely. And that's it, bro. We covered fucking everything.
We made it through despite several technical difficulties and my screen going white as a ghost.
Yeah, I can't believe we're still here. But
and then all it took was me moving the computer slightly.
But what a fix, man. Sometimes it's technology, sometimes it's the human aspect of things, you know?
Absolutely. But no, this was awesome. Glad we got to make this happen, and your kids stayed down the whole time, so that's good.
An hour and 40 minutes that they stayed sleeping. That's unbelievable. Yeah, I'm pumped. I know the second I hit end record, they're going to be
But hey, at least it didn't happen during.
More than fine, because I'll go kick it with them, throw on some Toy Story yo-yo-yo-yo, and call it a day, baby. Brett, this has been so much fun, bro. Where can the people find you?
Yes, at Brainbuster Boys on Twitter and Instagram. And I finally started posting on our Instagram again. So that's fun. In the event that Twitter goes down, which it probably won't. But yeah, Twitter and Instagram at Brainbuster Boys, Visionaries Global Media, and all major podcasting platforms. Like I said, subscribe to our YouTube, even though there's not much on there. We're really hoping to ramp that up going into 2023. But yeah, just celebrated 2 years. Thank you all who have listened and supported us. And thank you, Tim, for having me on here as always. Always a blast.
Yeah, absolutely, bro. I appreciate you coming on. Congrats again on 2 years. Definitely a big feat for sure. Look forward to seeing what you and Bo got going on in the future, no doubt. And for me, TK, the Wrestling Index, you can find me on Floor Sniper Sports YouTube, all major audio platforms under the Wrestling Index. That's Spotify, that's iTunes, that's SoundCloud, and Visionaries Global Media Network on SoundCloud. Go ahead and check that out. And most importantly, FloorCyberSports.com. FloorCyberSports.com is your home for sports, wrestling, entertainment, whether it's NFL, fantasy football, MLB, NBA, power rankings, list, this, that, the other thing. And
I got it all.
Wrestling. We got it. We got it all. So make sure to get on FloorCyberSports.com. If you are watching this on YouTube, please like, subscribe. Appreciate it. Thank you for all of you who are going to watch. Thank you for all of you who listen. Brett, scissor me, daddy.
No.
Ow.
Oh.